Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is like something if you made an animated movie 25 years ago, like putting putting like George Hamilton in it or something, or like, yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined by Jonathan Watkins from CinemaSins.
Hello, hello.
And today we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Scooby-pod.
A Scooby-pod, yeah. Of Scoob! It's the sort of the new... it's been how long since Scooby-Doo 2 came out? 2004, 16 years?
The Scooby-Doo Monsters Unleashed, the live action? Yeah, it was 2004. They did a third one, but it was like direct to, it was like ABC Family or some.
Yeah, bullshit. That doesn't count. 16 years since a theatrical release for a Scooby-Doo movie.
Yes.
And this one's back to the animated. This is not the live actions that those were.
Yes.
And everything. What else about this? I would say that, well, I guess this isn't spoiler to say that this is like, if this is like Warner Brothers saying, we've got all these Hanna-Barbera, properties. Why don't we just go ahead and put them all into one movie?
Yeah, no, I think they were pretty open about that. That's what this was going to be. And like Blue Falcon and Dino-Mutt were in the trailer.
Yeah, it's just weird to see this. It's almost like Space Jam, but with the secondary characters.
Yeah. The only thing I could think of to compare it to is like Laugh Olympics, the Hanna-Barbera series, where they had like all, but that was like something where like the characters were competing against each other. I mean, this is like an actual storyline where they're trying to create like this Hanna-Barbera universe. And I guess, I mean, Scooby's got to be their most popular property, because
I would think
there's been so many incarnations of that. They've been making direct-to-video animated movies for the last 20 years, like pretty much yearly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it makes sense to use Scooby as your kind of initial peek into this universe they're trying to create. And I don't know. It's going to be, 'cause I'm really curious how this would have done in the theater, but it sounds like it's doing pretty well in its format.
Is there some sort of report of how these movies are doing on their VODs?
I don't know how honest anybody's being. I just saw an article pop up on, I think it was Monday, that just said Warner Brothers is very happy with Scoob's initial performance. I think it was like the top iTunes renter for the weekend, which really isn't that surprising.
No.
Because I'm trying to think, there was another movie they were talking about too that must have gotten released in the last week or so, but I don't know. But they were saying it was doing well, like, but I don't know like how much money it's made, and I don't know that this would have done that well in the theater.
I'm not sure either. When was it supposed to come out?
Same day.
The same day.
Yep, May 15th. Yep.
It might have done pretty decent, considering this. Well, see, Black Widow would have been out already.
Yeah, I mean, animated-wise, kids movie-wise, I mean, I don't think anything, because Trolls would have already been probably pretty much done.
But they would have had a nice little just before Memorial Day type of thing here. I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say it would make like $100 million or anything like that, but something around the 60 to 70 million range wouldn't have been out of question. I guess the question is, does integrating all these Hanna-Barbera characters work in this framework at all. I know that I was not familiar with a lot of these. I mean, Dick Dastardly, yes, and Muttsley, I think, is his dog.
Yeah.
I was familiar with them, but not any of this Blue Falcon stuff. I was familiar with the Captain Caveman. But like a lot of these characters that look like they were just kind of like, hey, we have these characters, here they are, let's see what happens. And
yeah, I mean, that, yeah, that, that, but that's your main focus of the movie, I think, is it's Scooby and Mystery Inc. And then you had Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt, which I'm sure I watched Dino Mutt was actually the series that stemmed from, and then Blue Falcon was in that show. There's never been like, I guess there's never been like a Blue Falcon show. I was looking into it because
it was the Dino
Mutt. I definitely haven't watched any of that since I was a kid.
Yeah, I didn't see Dino Mutt at all. If I did, I've forgotten completely about it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he was probably in some Scooby-Doo episodes, but then again, for some reason, he was different than I thought I remembered, but then I realized that there was a character called Scooby Dumb, which, good God, that's amazing. They had that would not happen today.
Is that the like redneck Scooby?
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, I would say that I'm not surprised they didn't bring him back.
He was the blue Scooby.
Yeah. So I got him kind of confused with Dino Mutt. So when Dino Mutt started talking, I was like, oh, this isn't what I remember. But then, and then I looked into it. But yeah, well, and then Dick Dastardly, he was like I think he kind of became like the focus. He became a villain for Yogi Bear in the 80s. That was kind of where he really.
Yeah.
And then Captain Caveman, obviously, I believe stemmed off from the Flintstones. He had his own series.
Well, no, he had his own series. And his first appearance was in Captain Caveman and the Little Angels or something.
Yeah, like that was a show. It lasted for like a season. I remember that show. That was basically because there were like back then when Scooby-Doo became a hit. There were a ton of Scooby-Doo ripoffs, and Hanna-Barbera did them. And you had like Clue Club, you had Jabberjaw, you had Captain Caveman.
I remember Jabberjaw.
Everybody was just solving mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had like some weird animal, or they had, I guess, Captain Caveman or whatever. But yeah, anyway, it's weird. This movie is odd.
I don't like it. First off, I understand the need to, if you've got this TV property, you want to make a movie that is cinematic. It's not just an episode or something like that. So that's what they're doing here. They expand this big universe here and throw in the Mystery Inc. and everything. But it functionally is no longer Scooby-Doo at this point when they do this. It doesn't feel like it. Now, honestly, if I'm creating something from scratch, basically, and just saying I want these characters' names and everything, I don't want to be beholden to the old show either and want to do my own thing. But and so maybe that's what they're trying to do. People who don't know the series, this is the new Scooby-Doo. This is how we're doing it. But even under those, even if you're just saying screw the series, I don't know if this movie works at all. Even if you had, this is your first introduction into Scooby-Doo, I don't know if this movie works.
Yeah, it I guess it could be for some people. I mean, they're still making Scooby-Doo shows though. Like there was one that just ended a couple years ago. I can't remember if that was Be Cool Scooby-Doo or if it was something else. Anyways, there's been like so many incarnations of this series. I've watched a lot of them with my daughter and just on my own because I like Scooby-Doo, but yeah, no, this doesn't kind of in a way, cause we just dropped the Scooby-Doo Monsters, Unleashed, CinemaSins video. And that also, one of my problems with that movie is that it doesn't always feel very Scooby-Doo, but it does feel more Scooby-Doo than this. Like this, like I said, this is very much just people know who Scooby-Doo is. We want to try to start this universe. So we're going to start with them. And they kind of like, I feel like they're kind of doing the DCEU thing too, where they're just throwing too much at you at once. Because like the Blue Falcon thing, for instance, like they, and I don't think this is a spoiler because this is in the trailer, but like they know who Blue Falcon is. So Blue Falcon exist in this universe, which I guess maybe in the cartoons, Hanna-Barbera kind of, I mean, they did merge stuff sometimes, but like they know who Blue Falcon is, but I don't know, like you didn't really know who he was. I don't know that there's a lot of people that do know who he is.
The only thing for me, when they introduced these characters, I was like, cause I didn't know that there were other characters that were going to show up from the universe, mm-hmm. Hanna-Barbera universe in this. There were just context clues that told me that I should know who these characters are, or that they were an existing thing. And I think it was just Shaggy saying, "Hey, you're not the real one because the real one has a bigger F on his."
Yeah.
All that, and I was like, "Oh, so I guess this is probably something that." So I started looking it up, and sure enough, I'm actually surprised Adult Swim didn't turn Blue Falcon into something like they did with
the Space Ghost
with Space Ghost and Harvey Birdman.
Oh, Harvey Danger or Harvey Bird. What was it? Harvey Birdman?
Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
Yeah, that was a great series.
Yeah, it was. It was really funny. But I'm surprised that Adult Swim never took that series and just went ahead and did something with it.
I had a lot of problems with him, but I will say Blue Falcon probably is my favorite character in this movie. I guess we'll get more into what kind of the twist with him is in spoilers, but that's weird, right? Like you're watching a Scooby movie and like Blue Falcon probably shouldn't be your favorite character.
Yeah, probably.
Part of that was Mark Wahlberg, because I will say one thing about this movie that was really hard for me to get around was the voice work.
Mm-hmm.
Was very distracting because it was so much of God, I know who that voice is, but it was like, it was just very, I don't know. It was very distracting. Like trying to figure out who was who. I thought Mark Wahlberg probably gave outside of Frank Welker, who did, is it Frank Welker?
Frank Welker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welker is legendary. He's done voices for everything. I'm sure if I looked him up, he's probably got like 300 credits. Yes. He did do Transformers. He's Galvatron. He was Shockwave. Megatron, obviously. Frank Welker has 849 credits.
Oh my God.
I'm sure that
Scooby-Doo and Guess Who was the most recent series.
Yeah, I'm scrolling through these 800 things to find where he started the Scooby-Doo stuff.
Yeah, it looks like he's been the one doing most of like the DTV movies and stuff. And so maybe that's where he kind of started. But he also did Fred apparently. In fact, Fred Jones. Yeah. So from in the original Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Frank Welker did Fred.
Okay. So yeah, he was Fred Jones and he was a lot of the different villains and stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. But I'm saying, but outside of his work, I think Mark Wahlberg gives like the best performance. Everybody else kind of seems to be doing like just variations on like Will Forte, like, and I'm sorry. I mean, I know this is like, it's a business and you can cast whoever the fuck you want to cast, but them not casting Matthew Lillard as Shaggy seems odd to me, but maybe they just wanted to differentiate. Maybe they just wanted to distance themselves, but they're still using Welker.
At least, at least somebody who sounds more like Shaggy. Yeah. Forte already has a cartoonish type of voice.
He does.
But he doesn't sound really like Shaggy. He sounds like Forte putting an extra little bit of wine on his voice. And
yeah, no, you definitely, the whole time, all I was picturing was Will Forte and not Shaggy. Mm-hmm. Like I was just picturing like Will Forte and like in a Shaggy wig. And then, Jason Isaacs is fine. He does Dick Dastardly. Gina Rodriguez does Velma. I mean, she's perfectly fine.
Yeah, nobody. But that's just it. Yeah. I mean, it feels like anybody could be doing these voices.
And absolutely. And then you have Zac Efron and Amanda Seyfried are doing Fred and Daphne. Seyfried, sorry.
That's another thing I don't get. The Fred character has suddenly become like Shaggy almost.
Yeah.
That's what happens when Freddie Prinze Jr. plays him. And then this, it's definitely, he's just dumb now. How is he the leader of this group if he's going to be playing dumb?
Well, I know. And you have that whole bit too, where which I guess maybe that's a spoiler who tells them this, but you have their backer says that he's like the meat of the team or whatever. He's like the, like, well, yeah, like you said, like, why wouldn't Velma be leading the team at this point?
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, and Daphne seems even quite a bit smarter than him in this. But that's another thing, right? Fred, Velma, and Daphne are so, they have so little to do in this. Another thing about this movie, that I'm actually going to give this probably a better grade. That's the thing. When we get into spoilers, should we go ahead and just grade it?
Yeah, let's go ahead and grade it.
All right. So, I guess I'll go. I don't think this is terrible. I was all over the map with my grade, although I was never like in A territory or anything. But I mean, as a movie, like this is probably closer to like a B-C+. Like I do think that like younger kids are going to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
I do think if you're a parent, I will tell you that if you're a parent with a younger kid interested in this, like you're not going to hate yourself for watching this or anything. Mm-hmm. Like you'll make it, you know. Which is a good distinction to know. It's not terrible, but I do think my personal enjoyment of this would be more in the D territory. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a C.
Okay.
Because I like the animation. It was you know, visually it was appealing. Mm-hmm. I laughed occasionally. And like I said, it's watchable. So I fell kind of just in the middle. So I think I'm just going to give it a C. But
yeah,
I have a feeling when we get into spoilers, it's going to sound like I should have given it an F. But
yeah, I'm going to give it a C-.
Right on.
You know, it's like you said, it's not terrible, but it's certainly trying too big too soon, if that's what they were trying to do with this Hanna-Barbera thing.
But it's also kind of lazy, which is weird. Like, I mean, you would think with all this stuff they're throwing in there, but it felt like, it just felt very surface level. Like they didn't really think much past, like, I mean, there is like a plot. I mean, there is a mystery, I guess.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
The weirdest thing about this. There's not really a mystery.
Not really a mystery at all. They know why. There's like one brief moment where they're trying to fit. They're like, why would they want to do this? And then they figure it out in 5 seconds. And so that's the plot. You know exactly what it is that this movie's about.
Yeah.
And there's no discovery. You know, like the old Scooby-Doos. I mean, they're usually pretty predictable in themselves, but they at least would come up with some fun details. It was predictable that you would know who was behind it by the end. It's always, it's always a character that's mentioned or,
shows
up and says something, but when they're solving the mystery, you can see them discovering details and like, okay, those details don't add up yet. And then they'll go further into the thing. And then finally they find those two other pieces and then they've solved the mystery. And this is not like that at all.
No, it's not. And that's always been a fun thing about Scooby-Doo. And like in pretty much all the incarnations, they've done that. That's why, I mean, I know what you're saying. Like, I mean, if they wanted to do their own thing, that's fine. But this is not a Scooby-Doo movie.
Let's go on to spoilers.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Kevin Spacey is Kaiser Soze.
Luke's father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter. They just
No. I'm reading the books.
So, all right. I guess the story here is the Mystery Inc. needs money. Their van is about to like break down. Fred's like, we need to sell out. Now, I don't understand the right off the bat. They get Simon Cowell.
How weird was that? Like out of everybody they could have put in that, I mean, maybe just nobody would do it.
I guess I don't, that was the, I don't understand. Like what I didn't understand about that scene was, are they saying that Mystery Inc., much like they were in the Scooby-Doo movies, they're like so well known and their mysteries are so well known that basically people like Simon Cowell can see them like episodes or something, because they're like, because how does he know the characters? That's what, he's like, he's Fred, you're the beef or the muscle or whatever. Daphne, you're the people person. Velma, you're the brains. And he's like, I don't know what you two are, talking to Shaggy and Scoob. And I'm like, how do you know the dynamic of Mystery Inc. unless you've been watching episodes of Scooby-Doo? I mean,
maybe news stories. But that's the one thing. I mean, you just kind of either have to buy that or you don't, that they would be this popular just because they're solving mysteries.
I just can't.
They're not popular because they have a dog that talks.
Not at all.
And that's the thing. Why would you, if you had a dog that talked, and it's not like a lot of dogs talk in this universe, I don't think you'd have any issues with making money.
Yeah, I know.
But it's kind of like the Spider-Man thing, right? I mean, like, I've never understood why Peter Parker was broke. It's like you invented like one of the most amazing things ever with the webs, with the webs, mm-hmm. that substance.
Yeah.
And you're broke. Like, right. I just don't get it.
There's this idea that, once again, the so-called smarter part of the gang has to kind of leave the Shaggy and Scooby because they do nothing and are worthless. This is Scooby-Doo Monsters Unleashed plot.
Well, and the first one, the 2002 Scooby-Doo gets ripped off a little bit in this. The whole what mystery there is centers around Scooby, mm-hmm. and it centers around him being attached to something old and ancient, and he's needed for basically a sacrifice like he is in the 2002 one.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of Scrappy-Doo being behind it, Dick Dastardly's behind it.
Right.
And then you have the whole like Shaggy and Scooby falling out, which was a big part of the 2002. But then Monsters Unleashed also did the whole bit with Scooby and Shaggy. Well, although Monsters Unleashed is, we send the crap out of this aspect of it, because there's actually, Mystery Inc. does nothing wrong in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we're still supposed to be like, but then Scooby and Shaggy still, for whatever reason, feel like they're not part of the group, which that's not really a thing in the show. Like, no. I don't know why the movies have decided to jump all over that. I'm sure there's going to be listeners that disagree with me, but from what I've watched, that's not a thing. Like,
no,
they never make them feel unwanted.
I don't remember that being a thing in the original, but it definitely in the movies. And I think it's a part of our self-reflexive, when we make these movies now and we're looking back 30, 40 years in the past, it's our self-reflexive type of thing where we try to like that's it. You can either go like the Brady Bunch movies did, where they just went off on a parody of Brady Bunch, or you can do like Scooby-Doo did, which was like half parody and like half what they were before. And so that's what happens, where we go back and look at, oh, well, they're worthless. And now that we're smarter and we're in this year or whatever, we can tell you like, yeah, they're worthless. What in the world are they even on this team for? Which, of course, doesn't make any sense either for me as far as the original series is concerned, because they, even though they were dumb or stupid or whatever, they always found a way to help out.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I don't get that aspect.
Yeah, no. Either. When they started going that route, I was just like, oh, again, we gotta do this whole bullshit with Scooby and Shaggy. But yeah, it just, I don't know why the movies have latched onto that, but it's very odd.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people just assume that's the way it is, and it's like, nope.
No, it wasn't like that at all. They're planning on they're only going to get funding without them or something. I missed that part. I can't remember, but they go bowling, Shaggy and Scooby do.
Yeah.
And while they're bowling, that's when all the pins in the bowling alley and the balls in the bowling alley become robots.
Yeah.
And start chasing after them.
These robots, by the way, are so annoying because it felt very Minion-esque, but
very Minion-y.
But they didn't really do anything with them, and so like I would forget they existed. And then like there at the end, Daphne has one that she's talking to. Like they've opened like a, I couldn't even figure out what they opened up at the end of the movie. By the way, was that a restaurant? I don't even know what that was.
Oh, I don't remember.
But no, they opened up some kind of Mystery Ink shop.
Yeah, it was that's the place that they're like Ghostbusters. They just
maybe that's what
people go in and say I've got a mystery to solve.
Yeah.
Now that we're being self-reflexive about Scooby-Doo, I would actually like to know how their investigative services clash with like the actual cops and the actual detectives that are in this world. I guess you could say that they're private detectives, but they just go right off and find mysteries a lot of the time. They're not like going to local law enforcement and saying, you know, hey,
got any
mysteries that you need to solve?
I did kind of like though, this movie opens up with them in the past, like meeting, you know, the way we see Shaggy get Scooby, that's kind of a fun moment. And then we see them kind of accidentally themselves into their first mystery, but it actually was a crime. Like, I mean, cause a lot of the time that's the thing with these, it's like, and when all is said and done, you're just like, did the person really commit a crime? Like,
yeah,
he was trying to like, cause a lot of the time it was like somebody was just trying to scare people off. So
Yeah.
They wouldn't like tear down the building or they wouldn't get the inheritance or, you know, like this was actually like somebody had like, you know, I guess he was doing he was stealing electronics and selling them or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That was kind of fun. But yeah, then after that, they were just like, hey, let's keep doing this. And it's like, how does that work? I really want to see, I know they did the show A Pup Named Scooby-Doo, but that was really just cartoonish on Saturday morning. I'm really curious, like them as kids solving mysteries.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, yeah, like how, what could they possibly get accomplished?
Yeah. The implication is right after that, all the different Scooby-Doo episodes that you know and love happened because they redo the opening. Yeah. They redo the opening with the,
which was fun
with the new animation and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they go bowling, the robots come out, and they're saved by this big, huge ship with Blue Falcon on it. And who else is on that? The Dino Mutt, and is it Dee Dee?
Yes.
All of them, and they know that Scooby's important. No, they know that one of them is important. They don't know why either of them are important. They know them pretty well, and this is where the movie, I think, officially starts to go downhill because now that they're separated from the rest of Mystery Inc. and like you alluded to before spoilers, the rest of Mystery Inc. becomes worthless at this point.
Yeah.
And I feel like if they know Shaggy and Scooby this much, they would go and call Velma and Fred and all them and say, hey, we've got two of your people, come help us solve this mystery. And they don't do mm-hmm. that. So that's where I think that movie's breaking point is that they put them on this ship, Shaggy and Scooby on this ship, and they're separated from the rest of the crew. And the rest of the crew has to kind of like meander their way to wherever they're going.
I did like, this was around the time where I was actually laughing some though, because there was a couple things. The introduction of Blue Falcon, I thought was kind of funny.
It was silly.
But yeah. All I do is win. I mean, it was just, but then you find out, I don't know why they chose to do this, but little things like this, I find amusing, but they end up saying that Blue Falcon retired and this is his idiot son, Brian,
which
I thought was pretty funny. It gets less funny as the movie goes along, but in that moment, and Mark Wahlberg is just owning that, you know, I mean, he's having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And it's also, I feel like even if Wahlberg doesn't realize it, I feel like the movie is kind of making fun of Mark Wahlberg too, but I don't know if it's really that deep. Maybe I just think Mark Wahlberg's persona is silly. So maybe it just makes me laugh. But then there's also the moment where the Daphne, Velma, and Fred go to the bowling alley to try to figure out what happened to them. And mm-hmm. that girl behind the counter
is just
so funny.
Yeah, she is.
The whole thing about like, yeah, you could really tell that their friends had just left them high and dry.
Yeah. And she says something, one of the guys said like at the beginning of every sentence, like a middle-aged version, like a middle-aged person wrote his dialogue or something like that.
Yeah. Just that whole thing was, I was like, oh, well, maybe this is actually going to be kind of amusing. But then quickly it devolves into something else, and it doesn't quite keep that going. But
yeah, and I feel like the two live actions kind of did that too, where they were bordered on parody, but they tried to keep some of the serious in too. Yeah. And like there's a bad mix there. Either go full on parody, or just, I don't know. I mean, I guess those live action Scooby Doo's, it wasn't really much serious about them, but
no, but you're right. The Monsters Unleashed is pretty terrible all the way through. The 2002 Scooby Doo definitely has some moments like this where it's so funny, but then that kind of pisses you off that, like, why isn't everything this funny? there were moments where you could tell, like, they knew what to do, and then they just decided to go in a more generic route. And that same thing happens in this movie.
Yeah, but the story revolves around Dick Dastardly trying to find these three skulls, and he's trying to open up this portal that has a whole bunch of treasure behind it, but it also unleashes monsters and and so
Cerberus.
Cerberus, which this movie's very dog centric. I mean, every character that they could come up with, every franchise they could come up with that had dogs in it seems to be pretty represented.
For sure. Well, and I guess they had to find a way to tie Scooby into this whole idea they had. So they like I said, they just kind of stole some stuff from the 2002 movie and made it, like, because that's the whole thing. Scooby is like the last in line of, is it Alexander's dog?
I think that's right.
Alexander the Great's dog or something. And then, yeah, that got really weird at the end. And then you find out, like, there's the whole thing. They were best friends. So it kind of becomes like a parallel to Shaggy and Scooby. Because there's this whole weird, like, there's this whole dumb bit, which we make fun of with CinemaSins all the time, where you have to have, like, the falling out. And here it's because Scooby become, like, they give Scooby a superhero costume.
Yeah, and a necklace that got from Shaggy.
Immediately Shaggy becomes a dick.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, it's either him or me.
And so then they come together at the end because they realize that Alexander and his dog were best friends. And
yeah.
And then they kind of kill Shaggy, but then they bring him back.
See, that part right there, I don't know if I was so tired or what, but I did not understand any of that ending because they're supposed to. They've rigged this up so that one person has to go inside to turn or push a button, or you push the button and then you go inside, and then you're trapped forever. But because of something, you can make this statue appear and I was lost on that one.
I was too, and I actually rewatched some of that because I was like, I don't want this to be Frozen 2 for me.
Yeah.
But there's nothing there. I mean, it felt like the gates opened to like some sort of hell or whatever, and all those monsters came out. There was a way to close it, like you just said, but it was one of those dumb things where somebody had to be on the inside and somebody on the outside. But that statue literally just kind of appears. It's like they're trying to figure out what they need to do. And then that statue appears, and then they're like, and then Velma all of a sudden is like, wait, I get this now.
They didn't do anything. They just figured out that this was going to happen, or figured out what they needed to do. And then it just appeared. I didn't get that at all.
And then after she reads, there's like I can't remember what Latin or something. There's a phrase on the statue and they read it and it's just like something. I can't remember what they said now. But then they're just like, well, maybe Scooby can go over there and talk to it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it was just so weird.
Yeah. But then
Shaggy reappears and all is good.
I just realized that Billy West does the Muttley voice.
Oh, cool.
So there's another legendary voice actor there.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Which that was weird too, how Muttley ends up still, like, I can't even remember now because I didn't, like, Dick Dastardly is by himself at first, and then he thought Muttley had left him, and then he finds Muttley when they're doing the whole, like, you know, there's all these dogs involved.
Well, and, no. Well, the story he tells everybody about how he lost him is a lie. It's a lie.
Well, that's true. That's
the, he tells them that he left. He left or he was whatever. No, that he wanted to go into the portal. That Muttley wanted to go into the portal, and he volunteered himself. But it's shown that Dastardly sort of forces him to go into the portal. And he goes into the portal, and because of the magic of the place, he can't come back through the portal. He has to, you have to do the whole, you know, Indiana Jones shit to get out.
Yeah. Very Indiana Jones.
Yeah. So, that was the whole story around that. But I mean, it's just, this is so not a Scooby-Doo movie. And I know, like, I should be looking at this as something that doesn't have, but that's hard to do too. When they show you the reanimated intro, they are saying this is stuff that happens. This is Scooby-Doo, mm-hmm. the original series. Scoob. Yeah, this is the original Scooby-Doo. So to look at this movie and say that, oh, it doesn't have to adhere to the old series, it's kind of a bullshit thing to foist on the audience. And so, yeah, this movie is not a Scooby. It's just not a Scooby-Doo adventure. It just isn't.
No, it's not. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, I can look at this objectively and say that kids are going to enjoy this. Parents are going to be fine with it. People that don't care. But if you like Scooby, I mean, if you're wanting to watch a Scooby-Doo movie, though, this is not. There's so much else out there you could watch.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I did not like the fact that this wasn't a Scooby-Doo movie and it presented itself as one. And some people just be like, we'll review what it is, which I am. And that makes it, I think that's a negative for me. And you're right. Having the opening and everything, calling this Scoob, which originally this was called Scoob, but it was like an acronym. It had periods. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. Like they were supposed to have like joined some team or something. And then Dax Shepard also was originally a co-director on this movie, by the way. And then he left. I don't know what the story is behind all that. Because all this got made pretty quickly. Like they started on this in 2016. So this was a really quick turnaround for an animated film.
Yeah.
But I think that is the biggest issue I have with this. And just the simple fact that it's the story that they tell is just cobbled together from other movies. Indiana Jones is a great tie-in. I mean, that's a great example of one movie they rip off. And like I said, they kind of just randomly steal shit from the 2002 Scooby-Doo, which is a really odd choice.
Yeah.
And, we haven't even talked about, like, speaking of voice actors, I don't know. I love Tracy Morgan,
mm-hmm.
but God, that was a terrible idea to have him be Captain Caveman. That was like, that's gotta be like, that'll be like one of the worst performances of 2020.
I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah. That didn't make much sense to me either. I didn't think too much about Tracy Morgan being the voice here. It was weird because it's so completely different from the Mel Blanc, but at this point of the movie where he shows up, we've already gone through enough bullshit. So like him being a voice, I was just like, whatever.
And why is Captain Caveman even in this movie? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what, cause I mean, and it's not like that's like I guess people like Captain Caveman, but like, I don't think that's like, he's not Bugs Bunny. Like, it's not like, he's not like a really interesting cameo. And like, you've already, like, at least Blue Falcon and Dino-Mutt and Dick Dastardly, the story they're telling, they fit into that.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Caveman really doesn't, other than he just happens to be in that area they have to go to at one point to get the whatever that was about the skull. Although Dick Dastardly already had the skull. I don't. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
they just tried to figure out a way to get. They really wanted Captain Caveman in that movie. I don't know. I don't know. Somebody really wanted to do Captain Caveman. That's all I can tell.
By the way, is it Mel Blanc or Mel Blanc? I think it's Blanc.
I don't
right?
know, actually.
I think they pronounce him Blanc, even though it's spelt like Blanc.
Yeah, Blanc. You might be right.
Anyway, yeah, there's a whole thing, too, where, like, this is another thing. I understand you're just trying to sort of do a joke, and Fred, it was Blue Falcon is stupid. There's too many stupid characters in this movie.
Yeah.
Blue Falcon, yeah, Fred, Shaggy, they're all dumb. I don't like it. There's a point where Dee Dee's like, hey, we got to go to the Gobi Desert and find the skull. And Blue Falcon's like, well, my feelings say that it's this place where my friend says it is. Mm-hmm. And then they go there instead. Of course, it's not going to be there. And Dastardly is like, Dastardly can just transform into whoever he wants to transform into. And
oh, yeah. He transforms into a cop voiced by Christina Hendricks at one point, which is random.
Yes. An extremely hot cop that Fred falls in love with.
That they probably paid Christina Hendricks like $1 million or whatever.
Yeah, maybe so.
Probably not that much, but.
But like, that's when he like, she turns into Dick Dastardly and he's like, I've already got the skull. Ha ha ha. And he goes on. It's like, and you know, everybody's like, yeah, exactly like what I was saying. We should have gone to the Gobi Desert and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you're just wasting time. But there's too many characters playing the same character in this.
Absolutely. Well, then even at the end when they kind of do a joke on the whole unmasking thing, which it doesn't even make any sense why they would think that's not Dick Dastardly. But then Shaggy pulls the mask off and it's Simon Cowell.
Right.
And then they pull the mask off again and it's actually Dick Dastardly.
Yeah.
They make some dumb joke about the double mask or something. You never see the double mask coming.
It would make sense. It would make more sense. I mean, actually it wouldn't, because they went through all the trouble of saying it couldn't have been Simon Cowell anyway, but like, it would have even made more sense for it to be Simon Cowell.
That would have been stupid. Simon Cowell, it kills me. I mean, I guess they were just trying to find somebody that would do the movie, because I guess he's still relevant. I know he's on America's Got Talent now, but he's not that relevant. Like, I don't know. I don't know who you would use. Like, I don't have any examples, but like,
yeah, it's
I don't know. Like Colbert, or, you know,
Colbert would be good. It feels like this is like something, if you made an animated movie 25 years ago, like putting like George Hamilton in it or something, or like, you know,
like Simon Cowell. If Simon Cowell was in the 2002 Scooby-Doo, that would have made perfect sense.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez.
George Hamilton. Well, and it's kind of funny too. Like, I almost wish they had done something more along the lines, because, you know, Scooby-Doo, God, George Hamilton might have even been in a Scooby-Doo episode. I'm trying to remember if he was, because, you know, they used to do like Harlem Globetrotters, you know, Don Knotts and Jonathan Winters.
Yeah, I remember that.
But yeah, you could have even gone more like that route. Like, I don't know, have like Dick Van Dyke show up or something.
Yeah.
It would have been way better than Simon Cowell. Like, that was,
I know, it just seemed so out of date, man. It's so doesn't
and I'm
make
sure
sense.
That was the I'm sure that was also the point, but mm-hmm. it fell flat if that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
And the cop thing was interesting too. There's a lot of, like, I mean, I don't really care. I mean, I'm not knocking this, but there was a lot of weird sexual humor in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie was clearly for younger children.
Yeah.
And I know that's going to fly over their heads, but there was the cop thing. When they were really young, I thought they like over-sexualized Daphne.
Oh my God. I was sitting there going, if you didn't tell me that these were the kid versions.
I know.
I would have been like, holy shit. They like,
what?
They're,
I'm trying to know what costume she was wearing, but it was weird.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was the thing there too. That I was, when Shaggy and Scoob were, this is Halloween, Shaggy and Scoob get candy and then bullies come by, throw the candy into the mansion. And that's where they get their first mystery or whatever.
Yeah.
And so like, Fred shows up in a literal knight in shining armor costume.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, I get it. but I was like sitting there like, yeah, Daphne, Like, if you didn't tell me, like, yeah, she looks like an adult. Her face looks like an adult.
Yeah, or at least a high school student.
It's really fucking weird.
And there was even after they find out that the Christina Hendricks cop is dastardly, they have Fred say something like, I'm having some very weird feelings now. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. that. Yeah, let's throw like a homophobic joke in there.
Yeah.
In 2020.
Well, yeah, might as well.
But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, this movie is just, it's not good. It's just,
no, it's not good.
And it's, I don't know if it's disappointing because I don't know, think I expected this to be like amazing, but like, I even made a comment. We were talking about this last night about the CineSense video. And I'm like, you know, Scooby-Doo is like kind of a part of like my pop cultural, like makeup. Like that's mm-hmm. That's something I've been watching since I was a kid. And now I watched it with my daughter and, mm-hmm. I've watched like all the incarnations of it pretty, or at least parts of them. Some have been better than others. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, these DTV movies they've been making for the last 20 years, there's a handful of those that are way better than this. I mean, way better than this.
Oh yeah.
And you're talking about like, you know, half the production budget probably. And, you know, they're purposely made for television or for direct DVDs. They're not made for, you know, theatrical. And that's another thing. Like, I was trying to like, and maybe this is just because we're watching it on TV. We never got to see it in the theater. But like, this played perfectly fine as like a TV movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that there was anything really like anything about this that stood out to where I'm like, oh, this would have been cool to see in the theater.
Anyway, what did you guys think of Scoob? Go to Sincast presented by CinemaSins on Facebook. We're also on CinemaSins Twitter, Music Video Sins Twitter. We have SoundCloud. We have Discord. If you want to get on Discord, you can go to the Reddit page on the right side and get a link there. Or you can go into the Facebook page and private message me, and I can give you a link there. Where can people find you, Jonathan?
I am on Twitter at SamLoomis13, and you can also reach me, or you can also hear me weekly on the Behind the Sins podcast with Aaron Dicer and Danae Hughes.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this mini pod. It's Chris Atkinson and Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
Oh my goodness. By the way, my daughter, she uses soup cans for lifting weights sometimes, like in her Zoom practices. And she came in right before you got on and said she needed cans. And I was like, are you sure it's not a baby? And then she said, no cans. She doesn't get why that's funny. She just looked at me when I started dying laughing. But yeah, hold on one second. I'm sorry. What, sweetie?
Day was the last day of school supposed to be?
I don't know, but we'll talk about that later. Okay. I can look it up later, but right now I'm recording, so. You want to say hi to Chris?
I can already tell you the answer is a no to that. I'm not that interesting.
Right after I said she's been awesome.
I was about to say, yeah, awesome kid you got there, Jonathan.
Yeah, this might have worked out well for them. I don't know.
I don't know. That would be very interesting to see how all these movies that came out in this period of time did with the 1995 rental and like did they make money that would have been similar or more or less than if they had come out with a theatrical release? Because remember, they've got to share their revenue with theaters in that mm-hmm. in that scenario. They have to go through with all the like costs of course, I think theaters took a lot of the brunt of the costs of distributing the movie around and everything. But when all is said and done with the advertising and everything, did they have a really, really low overhead Did they have, did they make about as much money as they would have anyway? It would be nice to see like actual grosses on these things.
Well, and are they still having to pay the actors outside like the same way they would have? Because that was the thing apparently with Trolls. I don't know too much about it, but I know Justin Timberlake and Anna Kendrick's like representation has come out and said they were not initially aware that that was even going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And their contracts, their profit sharing is based on theatrical revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another interesting dynamic.
If they're not going to
have to work out something else there.
If they're not going to report the amount of money they made, mm-hmm. then you're going to have an issue with that type of thing because then it becomes about transparency at this point. You can't just say, okay, this movie is coming out in theaters, and then when it doesn't, you just screw the people that worked on it. Mm-hmm. So there's going to have to be some transparency there for sure on all these things at some point.
I just feel in my gut that they're probably made, like, I have a feeling Ludbirds would have made more money than whatever Netflix paid for it. And then I don't know how Netflix bases their value. Like, are they going to say if they get a million more subscribers, which they're not going to, if they get 10,000 more subscribers this weekend, I mean, or are they just trying to keep their base level? You know, I just don't know.
The mystery,
I have no idea what they're looking at.
The mystery of how Netflix stays afloat is always going to be a mystery because yes, they'll occasionally bump up the subscription price and all that, but mm-hmm. the amount of people actually getting new subscriptions, how many more people are out there who are kidding Netflix because of a certain thing. We know that Netflix makes money based on
mm-hmm.
people it's their stock price that always gives them the money that they need to do the things that they do, but they're not actually really getting it back.
They're not doing anything else. Cause like you could look at Amazon and see, I thought that was fascinating from the get go when Amazon started doing, like, they did the Harry Bosch series
mm-hmm.
and now they're doing Jack Ryan. They're going to do an Alex Cross series, because I look at that as they're like, here's this TV show. And hey, if you like this character, we've also got these 30 books over here that you can buy.
Yeah.
The whole thing is interesting. I personally feel like that these movies, if they were intended for the theater, they would have made more money. But I don't know that it's enough. I mean, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I think the other problem is, I know we're getting off on another topic, but the other thing I find interesting too, I'm curious when these movies become available for actual rental price, like
mm-hmm.
when Scoob becomes available for $5.99 or whatever, mm-hmm. is it going to make less money at that point? Because so many people have already, you know what I'm saying? Like, so many people have already rented it. Like, mm-hmm. are they not going to do it then? Or are less people going to do it then? Because I would think that would be an issue too.
I don't know.
But I don't
know. Yeah, no idea. It's a great question. I'd love to see it answered someday by, you know, an enterprising reporter of some sort that infiltrates them and figures it out. And so we could know.